Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
And indeed it is. His grace is amazing. His love is profound. He changes everything about our human existence on this earth, and we are so thankful. And that is the message that we proclaim to all. We want you to experience the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who would save even a wretch like me and even a wretch like you. This is amazing grace in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we turn now to your word, continue to reveal to us that grace which is amazing. Let us see Jesus. Let us be drawn to Jesus, and let Jesus transform us this day. And so, Lord, we're ready to receive whatever you would give us. We know you will meet us each right where we are, and we commit ourselves to learning from you now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something about ministry that people can't really grasp. None of us can. It's kind of like the farmer who plants the seed in the field. And there's some mystery as to what happens between the time that the soil is tilled, the seed is planted, and then the harvest comes. There are some processes that happen that the farmer can't look at and see what's going on as that seed sprouts into a plant that produces whatever it is the farmer wants to harvest from that investment. Well, the same is true in ministry. There's some mystery there. Why? Well, because that's how God designed it. Ministry requires God's investment, and you and I, as finite human beings, can't wrap our minds around everything that God does within the heart of a human being. How many of you have ever been surprised at seeing somebody you didn't think would ever have a relationship with Jesus, and yet God saved them? There are people in this room that your former friends would never believe that you're serving the Lord and that you're sitting in church right now at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But in the mystery, we see the majesty of God revealed. The thing about ministry is that you have to rely on God to do it. You can't just follow the right program and say, I've checked the right boxes, thereby the right results will come. No, ministry is humiliating because you have to say, God, I am natural and I am limited, but you, God, are supernatural. You are unlimited, and I have to have your intervention. Today, I want to talk to you about this theme. And if you're taking notes either on the bulletin handout or by our YouVersion live event, it's right there at the top. Ministry happens where the natural and the supernatural collide. Ministry happens where the natural and the supernatural collide. God will be faithful. Empowered by His Spirit, we must be faithful too. Ministry happens where the natural and the supernatural collide. God will be faithful. Empowered by His Spirit, we must be faithful too. Today I want to give you a text, and so often when we come to the Scriptures, we look at a very small portion of text. Today we're going to look at a larger portion. Because as we come through the book of Acts and we see the outworking of the grace of God as God ushers in His kingdom, it's important that we see how that plays out in a larger framework. In other words, a lot of times we look at the trees. This morning I want us to look at the forest. And I want to give you part one this morning, and part two will be tonight at Vespers. You come on back. And for those of you who just can't stand it, I'll tell you the last two notes at the end of the service. But we'll look at it deeply at Vespers. But I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. If you're in the red pew Bible in front of you, that is page 911. And what's going to happen now as they have had the Spirit of God come, now as they have begun to live out the faith by practicing the spiritual disciplines that we discussed last week, we're going to see God do a miracle. Watch this. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognizing him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Your first point is this: we must be faithful in the mundane. God will be faithful in the miraculous. Do you know what Peter and John were doing? They were going to a prayer service at church. That's it. It met at the ninth hour. It was the evening prayer service. That's just going to prayer service at church, and that's it. And they passed by a panhandler. Can you identify? Somebody who was there, who was lame from birth, who was there at the beautiful gate to ask for alms, to collect alms from God's people so that he might survive. And what happened? God moved in the miraculous. A man who was lame from birth was able, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be raised from his lame estate and to be strengthened in his feet and his legs and his ankles. Have you ever seen anybody who was not able to walk since birth? What's happened to the muscles of their legs? They're atrophied. They don't look like they could go and do a bunch of squats, Bailey. They look like they've just never been able to use those muscles. But immediately, in the power of Almighty God, he, a man who was more than 40 years old, who had never been able to walk a day in his life, is now leaping in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to be faithful in the mundane. God will take care of the miraculous. Now watch what happens. Verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We must be faithful like Peter in proclaiming God's message. God will be faithful in moving their hearts. We must be faithful with the message. God will be faithful in moving their hearts. You're here today because at some point, God was faithful in moving your heart. You're here today because at some point, you, who did not deserve to be saved, encountered Almighty God, and you have come into a relationship with Him through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. At some point in your life, you who were running as hard as you could to get away from God, whose rules and regulations you didn't need, whose standard you didn't want to abide by, you're here because at some point God moved your heart or is currently moving your heart. You may be here just checking out what it means to follow God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But God is moving. Our job is not to move hearts. Our job is to be faithful with the message. And what did Peter do? He stood in front of the very men who had condemned Jesus to death, and he proclaimed to them that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one sent from God to bring in the kingdom of God, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Peter gave us these words, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Today, we come to the holy table of the Lord's Supper to remember that there is salvation in Jesus alone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No, there is one way to the Father through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I want to invite Rick Mader, Deacon Chair, and Deacon Co-Chair, Chair-elect Steve Snodgrass, to join me at the table. Just before our Lord was slain upon an old rugged cross, He was in an upper room with His disciples, telling them what was going to happen, preparing them for their worlds to be rocked, shaken to the core, preparing them for the message that was coming. And He said to them, "This meal represents something powerful." The Bible says that He took bread and He broke it and He gave it to them and He said, "Take, eat, all of you, for this is my body which is given for you." And today we gather around the Lord's table remembering that this bread illustrates and symbolizes the body of our Lord that was given for us. There is salvation in no one else, for no one else has died for us that our sins might be forgiven. But Jesus gave up His body to be broken for us. "No one takes my life from me," He said, "but freely I lay it down." Why did He lay it down? For you. So in just a moment, our deacons will pass this element, this bread that symbolizes the body of our Lord Jesus, broken for you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin and received Jesus and trust alone in Him for your salvation, I want to invite you to take a piece of this bread and hold it. Ponder its meaning, everything it illustrates, all that it symbolizes. Not only on a grand scale, not only objectively, but very subjectively in your life. how great a price our Savior paid that we might be set free. Let's pray. Oh, Father, now we thank you for this bread and for all that it symbolizes. We pray that you would bless it as it reminds us of your body, which was broken for us. We ask for your blessing now as we receive this element, hold it, and reflect. And then, once everyone has received, when we all eat together, to be reminded that we are the body of Christ, united because his body was broken. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a small piece of bread that means so much. This bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for you. Take, eat, and remember. The Bible tells us that after the supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said that it was the cup of a new covenant. A new covenant sealed in his blood. No longer would God's covenant be written on tablets of stone. But now, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, his covenant is written on our hearts of flesh. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit is our seal and guarantee that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. This cup represents the blood of Jesus, which was poured out for us. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. It was either our blood or his, and freely he shed his own, that we might have life. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and for all that it represents. And for every believer in Jesus Christ in this room, as the element passes and they take it and hold it and ponder its meaning, we ask your blessing. Help us as we hold it to remember the great price you paid that we might live. And Lord, once everyone has received the element and we partake together, let us remember that you are building your church, of which every believer in Christ is a part, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bless this cup as through it we remember your blood, which was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Greater love hath no one than this, and that he lay down his life for his friends. Freely, Jesus laid down his life for us. We were his enemies at that time, but he died to forgive us, to make us clean, to invite us to be called children of God, children born not of the will of a human being, but of God. And so in Jesus Christ we are. Take, drink, and remember. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Today we celebrate in song, we celebrate in scripture, and we celebrate in the holy ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that there is salvation in no one else. For there is one name given under heaven by which all people must be saved. And indeed his arms are open to receive any who would come to him in repentance and faith. And so now, we respond. We respond to God by singing hymn number 586, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We respond to God by deciding to follow Jesus, repenting of our sin and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. We respond to God by stepping into the waters of baptism to proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of him and what he's done in me. We respond to God by joining our lives with a church community to say we will covenant together to reach this community, this country, and all the way to the ends of the world with this message. We will stand boldly together, united in Christ, and we will proclaim his truth to all people so that all people might know this amazing grace that he gives. So I want to invite you to respond. Today, if you're ready to take your next step with the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to come forward. We'll be here to meet you, to welcome you, to love you, and to help you with that. If you're on the YouVersion app, you can access a form right now by which you can check off, this is the next step with God I need to take or about which I have questions. And they'll send that to us, and we'll be able to help you. But you know, anytime we encounter the incredible grace of God, we have to respond. And so I want to invite you now to stand with me and prepare your hearts to sing hymn number 586, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And if God is calling you to come, you come. Let's stand together, and as we stand, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Your amazing love. Your grace is greater than all of our sin. And so, Lord, now, let us respond as you would have us respond. If it's time to receive Christ, may today be the day. If it's time to step into the waters of baptism of our own volition to say, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, may today be the day that decision is made. And if it's time for a baptized believer to join their life together with this covenant community of faith, then may today be the day. Your will be done as we sing. May it be done on earth in this place as it is done in heaven. And so, Lord, we open ourselves to your movement. In Jesus' name, amen. If God is leading you to come, please come.